Well, this morning, my wife's going to minister. And I went to Rhema, Pastor Debbie and I both did. We weren't married, but we both ended up being at Rhema at the same time, 1985, and went a year and a half, because it was a two-year program, went a year and a half in, Bible school without even knowing this girl was in the school. I don't know how that happened, beginning of the second half of the second year, we had a class called Church History, and we went into that class, and all the seating arrangement was arranged by, I guess, a computer in the head office. I don't know if there was any divine operations there, except in this class. There was a device. The angels got in that computer, I think, and they said, put this young lady here and put this good-looking youngin' here. And that good-looking girl over there, that tall, good-looking strawberry blonde, put her right there. And I had been in a bad relationship in high school. And I came right, I think both of us, she was not quite right out of high school, but I came out of high school, right out of high school to Rhema. And because I had been in a bad race, I said, forget it. Girls, kind of. And so I was focused. How many of you know, if you're going to go to Bible school, don't go there for other purposes. Go there for, all the Bible school students said, amen, Miss Amala, where are you at? I was just minding the plan of God, and I got to talking to her. She's sitting right close to my seat, and we're all going to the next. Most of us in that class, we're going to the next class, Brother Higgins' class next, down in the main auditorium for Faith Library. And so we're all going the same place, and we're sitting close together. We ended up walking down there beside each other, talking, after between classes. And so that ended up being a routine thing. And one day she walked down to the class, to the next class, talking to somebody else. And I didn't realize it at the time, but I was falling for it, and that was bothering me. How dare she talk to somebody else? I mean. Then I started backpedaling. I'm like, oh, no, I'm not. I was in a bad relationship in high school. I'm not going there. I know this is not, the word, but I'm just giving you a good story. Amen. So I said, no, I got cold feet. And I said, no, I'm not going to fall for anybody. I got the plan of God to follow, as if I could do it myself. So, amen. Pastor Ruby said, amen. So I started backpedaling, and they had an assignment at one of the classes was called Minister's Family, I think it was called. And because the Pastor Hagin and Miss Lynette said that there were too many students trying to be hyper-spiritual, they weren't going out on dates and all that, they made it a requirement in Minister's Family class to everybody had to go out on a date. Now, if you're married, take your spouse out, right? But if you're single, you have to have a date. Or if you don't, you get a grade letter down. Well, I'm like, I don't want to fall for her, so I'm not going to ask her. So I had somebody else I was going for, and she intercepted me on the way and asked me to go on the. These Holy Ghost women, I'm telling you, just. But she's been a precious supply into my life, and I call her the temper to my steel. And I love bouncing things off of her that I just like to see what the witness of the Spirit is whenever I talk about it. And she's been a great blessing. Put this podium down there if you would. Just bring, praise God. I think she got some things she wants to introduce. But then give my wife a big welcome this morning.
Love you.
Amen. We had somebody on staff. Yeah, that was sweet. That was sweet. But he can sing, Pastor. He can. And, amen. Hey, Brother Dane, you're going to have to come up here and hold these. I'm not saying all. I just wanted to show you some things. Sometimes those girls know how to make them jealous, right? just saying. It's like, okay, fine. You want to ignore me? You want to ignore me? We know how to play that game. Yeah. So, and I won the prize. I won the prize. But after that, after he caught me, then I came to Kansas City to be a youth leader, so he had to follow me here. And basically, I told him over the phone because he was kind of crying on the phone one day about how much he missed me. I'm sure I was telling him how much I missed it. You know, in those phone bills back then, we didn't have cell phones. Oh, my goodness. Well, anyway, we finally learned that we had a supply, but back then we didn't know how to pay for it. So we just did it because we were in love. And then you got the bill. What was I going to say about that? Oh, you were crying. And I said, well, whoever I marry until there's a ring on my hand, you know, I'm not coming. I'm not chasing you. I'm just saying, I'm not chasing you. So we went to go visit some friends of ours in Colorado. And, of course, we stayed at their house. And the guy stayed in one room and the gal stayed in the other, you know, to be appropriate. And he asked me to marry him on that trip. And that's when I moved back to Tulsa, and we were working with the Prayer and Healing Center at Kenneth Hagin Ministries and worked with Dad Hagin's ministry. Eventually, they asked us to take over some of the morning classes, and we ministered. And then eventually, Brother Keith Moore, of course, you know who that is, been a tremendous blessing to our life. He would go out on Fridays, so we would take his class for him, and that was a tremendous honor. And then we would many times minister on the weekend and drive 15 to even 30 hours straight through to get there to minister on a Sunday. And we did that many times, and we had miraculous things to get us there. There was one time we didn't have gas. We just got in the car. We didn't know what to do other than just use our faith. Actually, before we got in the car, and I'm going to get to you, Dane, so you just stand there and look good, but he is married, by the way. Didn't have to move. I'm getting to my sermon. Y'all don't be anxious, all right? PYP. Anybody not know what that means? PYP? Practice your peace. So anyway, we had a man walk up to us. We were doing a Friday afternoon healing school. And again, we didn't have money to get out of town. I had to drive several hours. And this man was waiting. He looked like an executive. Very nice. Long blonde hair. Nice suit and what have you. And he walked up and gave you an envelope that had different, several 20.
120 bucks.
100, okay. Back at that time, you know, that was quite a bit. That was, we've been married 36 years, so that was over, you know, that was probably about 37, 38 years ago. No, we were married then. It was probably 36 or 35 years ago. Anyway, moving right along. I'm not the detail person. I can be if I need to be. I'm just saying. So he gave him that, and then he looked around. He couldn't find him anywhere. It's just like he just
disappeared.
5 seconds. He just disappeared. And we really do believe that was, however he found those crisp $20 bills, I don't think he went and counterfeited them, but he found them and brought them to us, and we were able to get where we needed to go. So praise the Lord. I just want to say thank you for coming. Thank you, Spirit of Faith Family Church. Thank you, Spirit of Faith Family Church Cedar Rapids and Lee Summit for coming. This is an opportunity that you have to come and partake and learn and grow. And we'll talk a little bit about that because God shared a few things along that line in my heart. And it is such a privilege to have all of these ministers here. Some of our own spiritual sons and daughters. What a blessing as this ministry grows. We've been saying it for a long time. And I don't say this to make us look good. I'm just saying we understand the plan of God, that this is a worldwide ministry. And God is helping us to grow and see things. That's why we need to be around Pastor Nancy. And really, it's her, Dad Hagen, he was our spiritual father. He went to be home, he went to go home and be with the Lord several years ago. And then the Lord dealt with us, your supply has changed to California. We knew what that meant. Dr. Dufresne, Pastor Nancy, our spiritual parents at that time, they became our spiritual parents. And from that time on, they started putting things in us. And I think they knew it. They saw things in. Dr. Dufresne used to tell us things. But we understood that we had to be around their ministry. There are times we weren't invited back or what have you, and we just stand out in the lobby, Pastor. And I'd just be saying under my breath, thank you, Lord, they invite us back. Thank you, Lord, they invite us back. Thank you, Lord, they invite us back. Why? Because we needed to be around their ministry. Now, if you do that, we don't invite you back. You know, don't think you've missed God. It just may mean that maybe that's not what you need at the time. But anyway, so I remember once Dr. Dufresne came out, and he said, Pastor Jay. He was looking at me. And that's what he would call me sometimes. Miss Jay, Mrs. Jay. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You come back. You come to, yes, sir. And so from that time, we started going back and just kept using our faith. And we've taught our spiritual sons and daughters, if you need to be around the man and woman of God, if there's impartations and things that you need, then be in the places that are conducive for spiritual growth. And we needed that. And it's helped us to grow in ministry. The things that we got in the back room are invaluable. So I don't know why I said that. I'm just saying, pastors, ministers, take advantage of your opportunities. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But thank you, Pastor, for coming. Thank you for the honor that you have brought and taught us about. And when I was so proud of Pastor Nancy, I guess that's okay to be proud of my mom walking up those steps at Brother Copeland's ministry. And when she got up there and she started preaching, she didn't change. She was the same pastor I've known. She didn't try to, you know, hallelujah, you know, and just be somebody different. She was herself, and I've got to finish listening to all that message. Praise the Lord, because we had so much going on this last week, and I will. But I listened to most of it. That morning service and also tune into the night one that she did about celebrating life. Amen. But she's meant so much to us. Amen. I'm going to get on with the message, okay? Some of you are palpitating, so we're going to get there. All right. We have 3 books here. The Triplets by Pastor Nancy, that's what Pastor Jay called them. Answer It, A Sound Disciplined Mind and Peace, Living Free from Worry. And really, the message that Pastor ministered last night was just invaluable to my life. It's helping me in some things already that I had to start dealing with last week and even this week, just staying in peace. How many of you come to services and everything's perfect? I mean, every condition is just perfect. I mean, you feel great. You're not, you know, everybody at the church is wonderful. Didn't give you any problems. Nobody died last week, you know. You know, there are a couple of pastors that couldn't go, one that couldn't come because they had a funeral. I'm just saying, no, that's not always the case. There's probably something that has come up to you. And that's why when you get in these places, and I've told our congregations and taught this really all over about practicing peace. And being in the places that are conducive for spiritual growth. And when you're in a place where you can get under the word for several days at a time, there's light, continued revelation that will hit those areas and will break that thing in your life if you'll be using your faith. Amen. So I'd really encourage you to get those. There's some series here, Changing Mindsets, Finding Understanding. Now, I taught that. We're going to be talking about that a little bit And knowledge, it's a progression. Come into knowledge, and really, knowledge breeds revelation. The knowledge of God's word will be dry pages on a book, and you won't until you get understanding of it. I'm not talking about mental understanding, but I'm talking about an understanding that comes in your heart, and that understanding is what really brings peace to your mind, isn't it? So we start with knowledge, and then what does it become? Understanding, and then it becomes wisdom. Multiplied, multifaceted wisdom in your life. So we talk about that. Dealing with anxiety, it's a faith process. And that is something that actually I share a little bit from some of the schooling that I've had, but it's a scriptural point of view, how there can be triggers in your life, how women, sometimes you're dealing with things, it could be sexual abuse from your past or what have you. But we can't get mental about that. We've got to let the anointing of God break the yoke of bondage. And again, we talk about the peace of God that passes all understanding. And how do you get past those triggers? What did Pastor Nancy say last night? What did Daniel do? He looked to the promise. He looked to God. We've got to turn away from the past things and the triggers and stop talking about them and start talking about what God's word is doing in our life. There was a time in my life I went through a lot of turmoil, and I was in the midst of ministry. And Pastor Nancy doesn't know a lot about it because, frankly, when we're around her, we're not talking all about ourselves. We want to get what they have for us. But maybe I've shared a little bit, but there was a lot of turmoil. And there was a friend of mine, her name is Reverend Kate McVeigh, has been a very close friend of mine for several years. And she would reach out to me and say, Deb, you're going to get through this. And then she'd call me up and say, come to my meeting and lead the music and do this and do that. And I want to do that. No, just do it anyway. And she believed in me. Yes. Amen. Just believe in your friends.
Yes.
You know, we know the word, but sometimes there are challenges that come in our life, and there's times that we can look back at the things, and that breeds anxiety in our life, and a good friend can help you turn your attention to God's word if you love them and not condemn them. Amen. Just keep inviting them and keep having them come back. But Pastor Nancy's ministry helped really deliver me and helped me to get a hold of a sound mind, and I'm free.
Amen.
I'm free today. Amen. Comprehensive study of faith on trial, gaining understanding, passing tests, and progressing through the open doors. I understand my books are big, and if you get out of line, you can use them as a weapon. I started teaching in Pastor Nancy and Dr. Dufresne's Bible School several years ago. I just started showing up, and I told Dr. Dufresne, I brought my plunger. You know, if I need to unstop the toilets, there's one toilet that always got stopped there, you know, so I, you know, that one in the hallway. Oh, anyway, moving along. Whatever I need to do, I've been a secretary for years. I was pastoring. I've traveled all over the world. I've taught and preached, but I didn't go just presuming, well, you need to have me preach.
All right.
Nothing like an entitled minister, right? So I just, whatever I can do to help. And Dr. Dufresne, it was Pastor Waite there. You were the dean of the school. They're good friends of ours for several years. A lot of testimonies there. You were in charge there, and he told you, start having her preach. And I would just come and I would pray. I'd go back to my room and I'd pray for the services and what have you, and then they started to have me. So that was back in, I think, 2000, whatever, it's been years. So there you go. A lot of the sermons that I taught on faith on trial came out of those Bible school settings. All right. As a matter of fact, you're not nervous, right? I think we kind of got past that last night when Pastor Nancy so graciously helped us not to try to hurry the service along. I mean, that doesn't mean that we just need to take forever to get to our point like I'm doing. But anyway, there's a really good chapter. Yeah, here we go. I wrote this out, and in chapter 11, it says, faithful stewards, progressing, pressing, and praising. One thing I noticed many times there, when I went to teach at the Bible school. There are many times new students, and the Lord dealt with me, helped them press through, helped them know why they're there, helped them build their faith, helped them press through the trials. And there was usually always one service that I would take and literally would preach about getting through trials. Let me read some. First, I am so very thankful and appreciative that Dr. Ed Dufresne and Pastor Nancy have allowed me to minister to Bible school at World Harvest Bible Training Center in these last years. I am thankful for their trust and have been honored to help impart what they have imparted into my husband and I's spiritual lives. The truths shared in this last chapter in this book are just a portion of the many lessons about faith which were ministered at World Harvest Bible Training Center to first, second, and third year students over recent years. Much of these teachings, but not all, came from many hours of study, preparation, and then ministry for each class. This chapter focuses on the powerful subject of stewarding the faith of God within, overcoming trials, and progressing on to God's best. As I prepared and prayed for these classes, the Spirit began to deal with me to help establish the students in a faith that endures to the end and walks in God's best. I began to see that the only way each student could last in their faith walk and go back to being a blessing to their local church families was to teach them how to be faithful stewards to God, how to navigate boldly through the pressures, and how to praise in the midst of storms. Are you listening?
Amen.
You know, Pastor Nancy said once, God gave me things to write down, so it's okay if I read it.
That's right.
So I'm just saying. You can learn just from reading if you're receiving. In these hours, the students and I had many wonderful times of bold preaching and teaching of God's word, learning about putting God first, confronting doubt and unbelief, and developing in a faith that never gives up in the midst of any trials, pressures, or tribulations. We have learned about the many demonic forces that will press against the Christian in order to steal his consecration and his trust. And we have delighted in glorious times of the manifestation of God's glory as we obeyed the Spirit's promptings, praised God, and practiced drawing from the wells of joy and peace within. How exciting it is to see these bold believers go forth and actively use their faith in order to please God, grow in their personal lives, help their pastors, build up the departments of their local churches, and help other believers to become established in their faith walk. God has touched my heart with the sincerity and trust of these students. He has changed my life and how He has changed my life and how I now look and minister on the message of faith. The word that God has helped me study and share has instilled in me a greater resolve to be a faithful steward and press into God's best, to navigate through the adversaries who try to thwart my passages into God's next levels. I'm encouraged and helped to grow in an exciting life of preaching, teaching, and walking in a bold faith that will never give in to the world's compromise or the enemy's pressures. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's a book by my husband, Living Without Worry, Free from a Troubled Heart. Now, there's a chapter here where he talks about this little boy that's in a sandbox, and he's worried, and mommy comes to him and says, what are you worried about? I just don't know what I'm going to do for college. I just don't know what I'm going to do for my future. And mommy and daddy will take care of that. I love that story. You'll get it just for that. All right. That's a wonderful book. Divine Healing and Health for Today, including the special healing, anointing, and ministry endowments, and several chapters on, again, really offsets from Faith on Trial book, but it talks to you how to receive your healing. And just read that first chapter because it's a synopsis of the entire book. And then at the end, we talk about everything from the tangible healing and anointing to just receiving the anointing by faith. What's the difference? The spirit within, the spirit with upon and how Jesus ministered that special anointing to his disciples. We also talk about the endowments and how ministers need to understand their endowments. Now, if you come to the conference in September, I'll probably be teaching more on that because that's been more of a mandate that God has dealt with me to teach on the healing power of God, that tangible healing anointing, and then the endowments on Pastor Jay and I's lives and, you know, to minister to individuals. And Pastor Nancy, maybe she'll talk about that a little bit this week or when she ministers to people on Thursday night. But we all have the healing anointing within us. There are ministers that also operate in that special tangible healing anointing. Emasto usheke pera tu ushe endonda ba asika kaku ushe uchanda da boho sandai emeso kuta elebreso ete kukuku oso kukuka a i shuko ushandai.
Yes, you've walked in much. You've walked in much that the plan of God holds for you, and it's been good. And you've always had that in your spirit. I know. There's greater anointings of power to flow through my hands. And so, yeah. And so, it's nigh at hand. It's nigh at hand. Well, that greater anointing comes upon you. Stay faithful. Stay focused. Stay on course, and that fullness of what's in your heart will come.
Would you mind standing up, Pastor Becky? And I just do what I see in my spirit. Once you come up here, praise the Lord. And then just give me your hands there. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Flow in that. Flow in that. Flow in that. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then the word on rest and peace. And this is a CD by my husband where he reads scriptures and there's piano music. Wonderful, wonderful. We've had this playing in actually mental institutions, hospitals, different places where they said, I think there was one place they said all the patients left. What?
Nursing staff.
Oh, sorry. Details. Anyway, people got blessed. Thank you. You can get them in our bookstore. Thank you very much. Well, are you ready for the word today?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So let us turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. What time do we have? 10:43. Y'all have some time to receive some more? Yeah. Well, that's not going to work. Praise the Lord. So I want to start very quickly. The Lord dealt with me. This kind of goes with an offering. But there's something that the Lord put in my heart. I don't necessarily take offerings all the time. I let Pastor Jay do that. But of course, when I'm at our church in Lee Summit, or many times I have here over the years, and I love doing that. But sometimes he'll just give me something special along that line, and it's just something revelation that I'm supposed to share. And it's just the word. I mean, just say it's the word. It's not just the word, but it's the word. So in verse 10, it says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at last your care for me has flourished again. And in the Amplified, it says that your care has revived. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Now, let's look at that word opportunity, because there's something that I want you to understand. Paul was being nice there, but really it says to fail of a proper occasion. To fail of a proper occasion. So in other words, they had got distracted.
Right.
And had not given themselves opportunities to be around Paul.
Right.
You know, we have an opportunity.
That's right.
to be here this week. Pastor Nancy said that last night, if you remember. In verse 11, now that I, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. And he wasn't saying this for himself. He was saying this for their benefit. And one of the things, you know, the Lord dealt with me years ago. We were traveling. It was Pastor Ruby and Pastor Noel and Brother Tony and myself were traveling with Pastor Nancy on the Midwest trip. You remember that? There was a night. We had such a good time. We did. Anyway, I could tell you the funnies, but I better get to the message here. But there was one night, I think it was Pastor De La Cruz, and they'd asked me to do the offering. And beforehand, the Lord dealt with me, do what the occasion requires. Do what the occasion requires. In other words, what do you do in an offering? You give. What does the occasion require? And you're planting seed, and as farmers of prosperity, we're planting seed just like a farmer would plant seed and grow corn or what have you. So you're not going to come in the offering and just listen and say, you know, well, I'm using my faith, I'm going to receive. What does the occasion require? Well, we're supposed to plant seed, right? We have an opportunity here to hear the word. We have an opportunity to grow in the word. We have an opportunity to get things in our lives and out of our lives that are hindering us. Things that are hindering us out of our lives and things into our lives, the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage that will help us fulfill our destiny. There was a message recently that God gave me to take hold of your heritage and fulfill your destiny. Don't quit. That was the message. Don't quit. Take hold of your heritage. What's your heritage? What you have in Christ. Yes. What you have already. You are the redeemed of the Lord. You are the healed of the Lord. You are the prospered. You are the forgiven. Amen. So you let condemnation go. But what is that destiny part? It's that part that we're looking at. We get an image of it. Yes. And we frame that like God framed his words with our words. Yes. And we begin to say it. And that image becomes to come to fruition in our lives, not just because we're sitting here, but we're involved. We're giving ourselves, we're interested. And we're giving ourselves an opportunity to get what we need. What do you need this week? I remember I was sitting in the back room again with this just comes back to me. So I say it with Pastor Nancy and Dr. Dufresne many years ago in the back room, and Pastor asked me, what are you meditating on? I said, Pastor, I'm meditating on what I need for these meetings. I'm asking the Lord what I need. And I'm saying to you, don't just sit there, but use your faith. What do we need as a congregation? What do we need as pastors? What do we need as ministers? What do we need as congregations? You know, Pastor Jay and I, when we ministered to the churches, Lee Summiters, you probably noticed that we teach a little different to you than we do the Cedar Rapids Church, because we've been here, you know, for 20-some years, and there's certain things that have been established here. And if you've noticed, we just keep on teaching on the prevailing word, renewing your mind, and we still teach on that here. But if you notice, we're just making sure that the basics. Yes. We're making sure that you understand that we're all about the basics. Yes. And that's what you need to grow. So there are basics going on here that you need. And then there are more specifics for your lives, for your ministries, for your family. You're giving yourself an opportunity. We revive that interest. And we say, Father, I need to know what specifically you need for this time. I'm interested in what you want. So I would encourage you this afternoon or what have you. Many of you probably already have. God, what is it that I need? It might be the simplicity of faith, believing in your heart and speaking with your mouth. It might be God's reminding you. You just haven't been saying it. Maybe you're just saying everything the doctor's saying, but you're not saying what the word's saying. And I'm not saying that, you know, when you go into the doctor and he's poking around on you and he says, you know, does this hurt? No, I am not sick. I am not sick. Well, that's silly. No, you tell him what's hurting and this and that. And then the minute you get out of there, you make up for that. You thank God, Lord, I thank you I'm healed. I thank you I'm free of pain. I thank you. I may need to take medication or whatever, or I'm following their protocol, but my body's healed. My body's whole. This is all turning around. Well, that was all free. So you lacked opportunity or you failed the test. Well, you didn't fail the test. I believe that God ordained you to be here this week. But this is the other thing. God started dealing with me. You have an opportunity. And you're going to have to take this opportunity. You're going to have to use your faith to grow with the woman of God, to honor her ministry, to receive from the message that she's that I put in her heart. You have an opportunity. There's sometimes I kick myself and I'm like, okay, I haven't listened to the last 100 healing. Jesus the healer. And then you turn them on, you try to listen to them all. And God's like, don't log in time. Get the message. Get the message. So I have to change the mentality. And, you know, because it's like, I don't want, if Pastor Nancy asked me, have you been listening to my message? It's like, well, not all of them, Pastor, I'm sorry. And the Lord's dealing with me. It's not about logging in time.
Yes.
It's not about just you're listening to it and she knows it, so then you got favor. Are you getting it?
Yes.
Are you getting it? And we need to listen.
Yes.
We need to be faithful.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes.
But it's not because if she finds out that I'm not listening that she's going to be mad at me.
Right.
You know, that's not the motive.
Right.
I'm not saying she's going to be mad at me anyway, but anyway, you know, how could you be mad at this pretty girl? I'm just saying. Well, moving right along. That was a good opportunity. Amen, Pastor David. All right, so that was what the Lord started dealing with me about. Don't miss your opportunity. And frankly, don't wait to be invited for an opportunity. Just make it happen. Give yourself the opportunity. Be there when you need to be there. I've purposed in my heart, I'm not missing meetings. I mean, there have been stupid reasons I've missed meetings before, and we don't need to go there, all right? Anybody else? No, anyway. Anybody else been stupid? I'm just saying. Am I the only one in here? The women's conference, we had a wedding going on that same weekend, and I'm like, Lord, I need to be at the women's conference, and the Lord said, your priority is there. Your priority is there. I'm like, sorry, kids. You know, you didn't ask me if that weekend was okay anyway. So if you want to get married that weekend, go ahead. Be blessed. But I've got to be at the women's conference. Pastor Jay's going to marry him, okay? I'm not mad at anybody. I'm just saying there's certain priorities I have to keep. And I'm going to be there. And I'm not missing it. I'm making an opportunity.
Yes.
And I'm going to continue to do it. Now, this is something else, and then we'll just get on to the third sermon here. I check my heart and ask God, what can I do to be a blessing? And I make opportunities. And I went to Pastor Jay and said, you know, and he's 110% with me there. So this family has blessed us. Pastor Nancy has blessed us. But we're supposed to bless their children. We're supposed to bless their grandchildren. And we take them offerings all the time. But I said, this time, I really want to give extra. And I want to, I purpose in my heart. There's a few other people that were on my heart, too. And I purpose in my heart. So I said this several weeks before the camp meeting and said, this is the amount I want to give. Well, it came up to that point, and it seemed like we were using our money for this and that and the other. And it's like, okay. So I just went to him. It's like, I didn't put any money back for it. Did you? Okay, well, I'm going to the bank. This is how much I need. He's like, okay, then. That's on your heart.
Amen.
So I took that and gave each one of the family members a certain amount. It was larger than I normally do. And then there was a missionary and his daughter, and the Lord dealt with me to bless some other people. But I'm giving myself opportunities.
Amen.
And it's not the motive of, okay, when you give them money, then you're going to have their favor. No. Nothing like that.
No.
Nothing like that.
No. Amen.
Yes.
Pandushta. No. And they come to you and say, because I'm giving you money, you need to do something for me. But you said, oh, no. That's not what your freedom's about.
That's right.
And you teach them otherwise, right?
Amen.
Yeah.
That's right.
Has that happened to you?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what to do.
Yes,
and you know not to get into that trap.
That's right.
I don't have to, you know, figure it all out. I'm just saying that that's what the Lord was saying. You don't have to fall into that trap. I'm not saying you are, but don't. Amen. Amen. So it's not about getting somebody's favor, but there's honorable things that you do. And we're going to talk about that. Now let's switch over to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 2, I implore you, Dia, and I implore Syntyche, to be of the same mind in the Lord. In other words, renew your minds. Develop your hearts.
Yes.
You understand what that is? When you're hearing the word, you're gaining knowledge, you're gaining understanding, you're growing in the wisdom of God, or you're applying the word and understanding how to apply it in wisdom. And you're getting skilled.
Amen.
In the word, and you're getting a mindset.
Yes.
Comes in the heart.
Yes.
But your mind agrees with the heart. It may not understand it just agrees.
Right.
And you're changing your mindset.
Amen.
And that's what we're doing. We're conforming to God's word. We're conforming to God's mindset.
Yeah. Yes.
Particularly along the line of peace.
Yes. Yeah.
Peace. I mean, that's what set the stage last night.
Yes.
And whether Pastor Nancy goes a different way or not, I'm kind of staying along that line.
Amen.
Peace. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. So the first key is to rejoice.
Yes.
And I want you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. And as Pastor was ministering last night, I was thinking to myself, oh, praise the Lord. This is really taking a load off me. I wasn't nervous because I've grown a lot along that line. I used to be really nervous, especially if I didn't know if Pastor Nancy was going to be here this morning. I wanted to get some rest this morning. And, you know, praise the Lord, she came. And you know, are you nervous? No, I'm really not. Because I'm just preaching and teaching the things that I've been taught. You understand? And I want to say it with the right heart, right? Verse 47, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything. We've got to remind ourselves that we are redeemed. We've got to remind ourselves what God has already done, what we have in Christ, what we can do in Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Who you are, what you can do, what you have in Christ. We've been taught that. What is that book, The Power of God, Pastor? Greatness of His Power. The Greatness of His Power. You have to get that book, and it's probably on Pastor's.
It's retitled now, Faith in the Power of God.
Okay, Faith in the Power of God talks about, you know, who you are, what you have, what you can do in Christ. That power of God that's inside of you. All right? Well, you need to get that so you can avail yourself. All right. So years ago, we went with Pastor to Russia, and I was dealing with some fairly serious symptoms at the time, but I didn't tell anybody except my husband knew that. There were some thyroid things, and I was dealing, and frankly, I was getting very tired during the day and this and that, and I think I mentioned to Pastor, you know, a diagnosis with my thyroid, but I'm just believing God. That's really all I ever said, because
God called us to help her, so I had a talk with God. I'm like, I know that they just diagnosed me with this. There's certain things, tweaks I need to make, you know, spiritually, naturally, whatever I need to do. But I'm just asking for your mercy. I'm asking for your help. I'm asking you for your grace and your strength to get through this trip and to be a help and not a hindrance. And so I got up with them. I did what I need to do. I helped, you know, Pastor in any area I need to help her in, and God helped me. Amen. And really, it was shortly after that that they said that the diagnosis had changed. So I'm just saying, you just keep using your faith, and it will change. And you do what you need to do. I didn't stay home, and I did not have it in my heart to stay home at the time. There may be times when you need to rest or give yourself and use wisdom. But I knew at that time, if I did that, then I was going to be going down the wrong road. So the Lord just, I saw myself dancing and rejoicing. And I saw it in the middle of the night. I'm like, Lord, Pastor Nancy can share her failures. I guess I can share mine. Many times I wake up in the middle of the night and the Lord's dealing with me dance. I'm like, I'm going back to bed. And you're rebuking the devil. It's not the devil. It's God trying to get you up to do something. And sometimes it's time you're most sensitive. You may not realize it because other times you're talking about all your stuff or in the middle of this or distracted with this. Well, it's in the middle of the night when your mind's quiet. And well, anyway, I'm not saying everybody's got to get up in the middle of the night and dance for 10 minutes. But the Lord dealt with me, get up and dance for 10 minutes. And that's just the way and I saw myself. So that's what I did. And I didn't wake Pastor Jacob and say, dance with me. Because he wouldn't have done it. Pastor Jay and I don't make chicken soup for one another and, you know, pat each other on the back for dealing with symptoms. And there are times when I had to drive myself to the ER. I'm like, you don't need to come and hold my hand. I'm good. Right. Just got to get some medication or do something, you know, whatever the Lord leads me to do. I'm not saying I do that all the time. I'm just saying I've done that before, you know. Anyway, moving right along. Some of you need padded and... You're going to your husband, I'm dealing with this, or you're calling Ann on the, where's Ann at? Yeah, you're calling in. Sister Ann, they diagnosed me with this, and what did we talk about last Sunday? Come to the healing class. Can you hear Ann? Come to the healing class. Come to the healing class. But you don't understand. The doctor said this is come to the healing class. Yeah, but you don't understand. I'm gonna die. Come to the healing class. Yes. And the Lord dealt with me. Just get up and dance. And I did that. The symptoms didn't change the next day. And the next day and the next, but it did eventually change. And sometimes, you know, sometimes we dance one time and we think, okay, the symptoms haven't left. Well, you have great faith. You really hung in there. Now, there are times when I've got to make some tweaks. There are times both spiritually and naturally that I need to make some changes. And it takes a little time. Why? Because of me. But then there are other times it's just you're in the cage with the lion. And there are going to be attacks that come against you, but you have the whip, which is the name of Jesus. Yeah. And you just stand. Yeah. And you use your authority, and it will change. Yeah. I said it will change. So don't quit. Don't give up. Amen. So, Brother Brian, it's changing. It's changing. For you. Now I'm going to come back here and I don't know if that's going to mess my mic up, but I just got to do it. I got, because I saw myself ministering to you. I'm going to, I'll come back there and encouraging you about the progressive place of God's word in your life. And because you've made the changes, because you've done what's in your spirit, you're going to see change. You're going to see change. And there's a progressive work in you. I said there's a progressive work in you. Honey, do you have anything? All right. So I'm going to lay hands on you, but that anointing that's already been ministering to you, it's in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Don't listen to those condemning thoughts that it's over, that it's done. It's not over and it's not done. I want to use you in that arena.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I want to use you in that arena. And you know what arena that is. You know. Yeah. It's a natural arena postande, but he wants to use you. And you've got to be strong and be an example. So don't yield to that condemnation and don't yield to, well, it's over for me, because there's a progressive work in you and God is turning it around. And Miss Connie, he's turning it around for you too. And I speak to that blood pressure in the name of Jesus. I want you to stand up. Come over here. I speak to that blood pressure in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus.
I command it to come in line with the word of God. Yes. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Wisdom. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the power of God that is ministering. Thank you, Lord. You see, we can get all wrought up in our own plan and then miss crucial things. So we're talking about the joy of the Lord. So let's go back to Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord. Don't forget to give thanks.
Yes.
Have you believed that you've received anything from the Lord in your redemption?
Yes.
Have you believed that you've received the healing and wholeness, that you are the healed of the Lord?
Yes.
Have you believed that you've received freedom from condemnation?
Yes.
If you've missed it, sin, unrighteousness, you give that to God. You don't sit in condemnation. You thank God.
Yes.
That I am free from condemnation.
Yes.
And you do what you've got to do.
Yes.
Get up in the morning and dance.
Yes.
Whatever it takes.
Yes.
The middle of the night.
Right.
Whatever it takes.
Yes.
And it's not dancing or rejoicing that's turning God's hand.
Yes.
It's setting your heart right.
Yes. Yes.
It's helping you to be more receptive. And we could say this, it's you're being obedient.
Yes.
See, I see myself doing many things.
Yes.
And it's the proper time, proper place, what have you. And I just follow that.
Yes.
And that's obedience. And God has dealt with me because you've been obedient in this area.
Yes.
This is going to be taken care of or what have you.
Sure. Yeah,
sure. Amen. So it's important to rejoice and give thanks.
Yes.
Because that affects your heart.
Amen.
And do you see yourself running?
Amen.
That ever come in your spirit? You ever seen yourself running? Well, it's not time to do that, Pastor Deb. Well, you can now if you want. I'm just saying. I mean, it's not going to bother me.
Hallelujah.
I'm just saying, in the praise and worship, do you see yourself dancing? Do you see yourself rejoicing? I mean, we're supposed to just stir ourselves up.
Yeah.
With the joy of the Lord.
Yes.
For the abundance of all things.
Yes.
And if we don't do that, then the door will be open to the enemy.
Yes.
And we will be focused on the wrong things.
Yes.
But in order to turn and look in the right way,
yes,
you've got to be rejoicing.
Yes.
I mean, last night, frankly, I was getting ready to go to bed and I started some cramps in my feet and this and that. And I'm like, well, praise the Lord. And I got up and I rubbed magnesium on my feet, you know, whatever. It's probably these shoes. Well, big heavy Revy. So I got in bed and then Then I dealt with, and then I got up and put some more magnesium on them. And then I just said, ha, 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 ha. He. Ho, 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 ho. I'm free, 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 free. And Pastor Jay's about half asleep. He's used to, used to that. And it all left. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let your gentleness, so that was the first key, rejoice. Rejoice. Give thanks. Have you believed that you've received anything from the Lord? Start talking about it. Yes. If you've believed that you've received, if you've spoken to the mountain and told it to go, I'm waiting for it to leave. Stop talking about the mountain. Start talking about the fact that you're free.
Yes.
What did you speak to? What did you tell to go? What did you believe that you received? Start talking about that.
Yeah.
And stop talking about the problem. Stop calling Ann and talking about all the problems.
Right.
Come to healing class. And get the word inside of you.
Yeah.
Believe that you receive according to your faith.
Yes.
Be it unto you.
Amen.
Amen. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. And that word gentleness means suitable, equitable, fair, mild, gentle, considerate. Are you considerate to other people? Oh, you don't really. That's not really important. Oh, it's important. The love of God inside of us loves other people. Jesus came and died for the world. Not for your furniture. Not for all the things you possess. He died for you. He died for people. It's about people. And we've got to stir ourselves up. Pastors and ministers, we got to stir ourselves up. It's about people. We tell Cedar Rapids, we tell the one at Lee Summit, we love you. We had one lady, bless her heart, and there's one of our workers that came to Lee Summit to help, because we've had people coming each weekend, and we're lessening that because now we have many people. So we have people that show up one service and like, I need a helps application. I've been looking for a church like this forever. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
I mean, we got people coming and getting involved with helps and all, but we still have those coming from Cedar Rapids. So it was LaDonna's daughter, Takia, that they were talking to, and said, have you been involved with the church at Cedar Rapids for a while? She says, oh yeah, I was born and raised in that church. I love my church. Such a blessing. And I heard that one of our ladies said, you don't know what you have. You don't know what you have. Actually, they're here. Miss Gina, you're here. Amen. You all drive 4 hours on Sunday morning to get to church. Right? Yeah. What's that? And then 4 hours back home on Sunday. Every Sunday. And they're believing God for the house to sell, which we are in complete agreement, and the angels are working on it. And everybody just lift up your hands. It's sold for the right price. And so they drive every Sunday, and they've done that for several weeks now. And several months now. And she was telling Takia, you don't know what you have. We've been looking for a church like this for years. You don't know what you have. And you know that blesses us. It's not, we give God the glory. If people start looking to me, I'm not going to be able to produce. But if we keep our motive right, it's about people. It's about the message. Trust me, Pastor Jay and I didn't wake up one morning for ourselves and say, we're going to go start another church. I mean, we got things to do, all right? Like live life, you understand? But God has helped us make it light and easy. And you all know, because you've helped with that. He's helped us with the plane. Things that we need to help it be light and easy. He's given us a nice home there in Lee Summit, and we'll get a nice home with property and this and that. He's given us a nice home here. He's helped us. But it's come. by using our faith,
yes.
Hasn't it?
Yes.
Well, anyway, being considerate was what I was talking about, and I'm not real sure what I had to do. Anyway, it's about people.
Yes.
That's what we were saying. Last week, I was ordering something. My staff called me up and said, Pastor, we're trying to order this item for you. It's kind of a high-dollar item. It might be a birthday gift or something. I'm not, you know. It might. Anyway, we'll find out. And they said, because your credit card, they won't take it because of security and this and that. I'm like, I really have things to do. You mean they won't even let my secretary? No, they won't. They won't. So I called, and I was a little miffed. You know what that means?
Yes.
Yeah, they got my goad. You know what that means? I really don't know what that means, but it means that you're angry. You lost your peace. They got your goad. They got your peace. That's what I just don't know what a goad is. Anyway, moving right along. Write me a letter. Let me know. And I said over the phone, that's what secretaries are for, you know, to this lady. She's like, I'm sorry, ma'am, you know, because of security. And I'm just saying, I didn't have a whole lot of time, but okay, I'm going to take time to get this. Can we hurry it up? I was rude. And I'm thinking to myself, really? And when I hung up the phone, I mean, the Holy Ghost was not pleased with me. An entitled preacher. They knew I was a pastor. That was a real big witness.
Great witness.
No, it wasn't. You know, there's nothing worse than an entitled preacher. I'm just saying. You understand what I mean? I'm just like, we just think that the world revolves around us. No, it doesn't. Moving right along. I had to call her back the next day because they canceled the order because of a mistake or something like that. So I called her back and I said, first of all, I need to let you know I am so sorry. I was rude. And she said, oh, no, ma'am. I said, no, I was rude. And I said, I will say, that's why we have secretaries. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. But I didn't need to act that way and I apologize. And she was real sweet. I was like, we were friends, you know? So, and we had a lot of favor because there were some other issues, but we got the package and we'll see what it's for. Be considerate. If I was just irritable, like Pastor was talking about last night, I had let my peace out the window. I thought that I didn't have enough time to do something, and I just needed to stop griping and complaining and stop being rude. So I had to get it right. How many staff meetings, pastors, I'm not asking you to raise your hands, have you had to apologize to your staffers? I'm just, maybe none of you? I'm sorry, I was rude to Pastor Jay today. I apologize, that was wrong. I'm his wife, but I shouldn't have done that. You know, because sometimes, you know, he's on the chopping block. No, 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 we're not doing this. We're not doing this, but no, 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 because he's trying to hurry along, right? And I'm like, wait a minute here. Excuse me? Do I have a say in this? No. And I told my staff, I said, what I should have done was, we'll take care of this at home, all right? Not in the middle of the meeting. So sometimes you gotta apologize, right? Maybe it's your wife doing the no, no, no. But anyway, moving right along, we gotta be sweet and considerate and be examples. I want my staff to know that I'm sweet. I'm considerate. I'm loving. I'm kind. All right? That I'm not trying to wear the pants in the family or be the senior pastor. So, and we're both a little bit, do you say high strung or bold or I don't know, but you know, sometimes I got to get myself by the nape of the neck and say, okay, he wants to do it this way. So that's what we're doing. All right. Gentleness. Being considerate, being loving. Doesn't mean everything that comes in your mind is just perfect. Now, remember all that COVID debacle stuff that was going on, and anybody that was flying at the time usually had to have, I told our secretary, make sure we have at least 2 or 3 hours layovers because our flights were getting canceled. We were having to spend the night. It was just all this stuff going on, especially when we were going to California, and the enemy tries to get in there, keep you from meetings and what have you. And there was a time when we were going through Dallas, and they led us on for several hours about whether the flight was going to be canceled or not. And they told us, you can leave your carry-on luggage in the overhead. So I left my carry-on luggage, and there were vital items. I take an extra clothes, I bring extra things in case anything happens. I'm using my faith, you understand, but I'm also using wisdom. Because when I get to the hotel, I don't like to run around my nothings, all right? I want to, and I want things to be clean. I mean, don't go there. I'm just trying to make you laugh. It's waking some of you up. I want clean stuff. Right. You know, I want shampoo. Yeah. I want my lotion. I don't want their lotion and their shampoo. It's like, really? All right. So we were trying to get our carry-ons because they canceled the flight altogether after they strung us on for several hours. And they said, no, you can't have your carry-ons. And I'm like, what? No, that's like against the law. You understand, you have to give us our carry-ons. I mean, the ones that they put in the belly of the plane, you know, they can actually send those to you, but the carry-ons, and I told them, I got supplements in there. And anybody knows, if they see my supplement box, I want my supplements. You understand? And I want my shampoo, and I want my, you know, clothes and all this type of stuff, because we were probably going to have to spend the night. Anyway, with all of that, Jay led the charge. He's like, we need our carry-ons. And then, yeah, I'm saying, yeah, we need our carry-ons. And then other people are like, yeah, we need our carry-ons. And then there's a man. He said, hey, stop aggravating the stewardess. It's not her fault. That's what I did. And then he's like, and all of a sudden I remembered that story of Dr. Dufresne when he was at the Home Depot the day after meetings and he was tired and this man flipped him the bird and he wanted to punch him out. You remember that? And he followed him around the store. And all Dr. Dufresne could, now Dr. Dufresne didn't flip him the bird, the man flipped him the bird. Let's get that straight. He was following around the store because he was trying to aggravate. It was a demon working through that guy. Yeah. Dr. Dufresne's point was, when you get tired, don't yield to that. Yeah. Don't yield to that. And he said there could have been, you know, on the paper the next day, pastor knocks out or decks man at Home Depot. Well, that's what I thought, because what I wanted to do is go deck this guy. Literally.
Yeah.
I just wanted to go attack him. It's like... You want to do something about it? You want some of this? How many know that that's not walking in love? But your flesh, Lord, just this one time. Can we please justify this? Just somewhere, can we just justify this? And every time I walk that by that man, he's like, praise the Lord. So I got up the gumption and I said later, I said, you know, I'm sorry. Wasn't trying to badger her. We just wanted our carry-ons. And he's just like, so I just walked off. Praise the Lord. But I tried to do my part. I'm just saying. Be considerate. Be nice. I'm not saying you have to let people walk over you. There's a time and a place where pastors have to give correction, have to tell people, but not be rude in the process. And there are times in the service where I put my foot in my mouth and I had to apologize publicly, okay? Or I went to a person and apologized to them. I didn't particularly want to do that, but at the time I felt like it was fine, but then the Holy Ghost dealt with me. It wasn't. That wasn't right. It wasn't the right attitude. You weren't considerate. Shouldn't have said that. You need to apologize. And if you said it openly, you need to apologize openly. All right. Number three, don't be anxious. We're almost through here. And Pastor talked about that a little bit. But what does that word anxious mean? Well, in the Greek, we see there, anxious. It's the same word. It's merimeo. And it's the same word that is in Matthew 6:25. It says, do not worry. So don't be anxious, don't worry. And it means to be careful, to be anxious, to be troubled with cares, to look out for a thing. What does Pastor Nancy say? If you're worrying about it, you're thinking about it. If you're thinking about it, you're worrying about it. So seek to promote one's interest, caring or providing for. So rather, you could say, rather than coming and saying, okay, God, you need to, you are open. You are, I give you free course in my life. I open myself, is what I meant to say, to receive your correction, to receive any change, to make any tweaks, to do what I need for longevity and to fulfill my destiny in life. And what your plan is to benefit the kingdom of God, to help people in this life. Whatever I need to do, you're not pushing your own plan. You're caring or providing for, you could say. So anxiety is a fearful concern or an interest, an abnormal or overwhelming sense of apprehension and fear, often marked by psychological signs of sweating, so on and so forth. By doubt concerning the reality and nature of the threat, and by self-doubt about one's capacity to cope with it. Are there things in your life that you don't know how to cope with? Well, we have to ask the Holy Spirit to help us. Get the knowledge which becomes revelation. Meditate on the word and let it become revelation to you. Get an understanding, faith's understanding of the heart, same thing as revelation. Get an understanding of the word and receive what you need. Receive light, receive direction. Pray the Ephesians prayers, but like we've been taught again by Pastor Nancy, you don't necessarily have to pray for light. You've got light inside of you, so what do? Thank you, Lord, for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. What's that?
Claim it.
Yeah, claim it. You have it inside of you. You just need to stir it up and say, thank you, Lord, for the direction. Thank you for light. Thank you for understanding. So what you do is those Ephesians prayers. Father, I thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. I thank you that the eyes of my understanding are enlightened. Thank you. I know the hope of your calling, the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints. Thank you, Lord, according to Ephesians 3, that I'm rooted and grounded in the love of God. I know the love of God that passes all knowledge. Thank you, Lord. Just start calling yourself enlightened. Calling yourself with what you need in this life. The understanding, the revelation that you need. Start calling it into your life through your words. Thank you, Lord. I have light. I have wisdom. I have understanding. I know what to do in every situation. Amen. And don't insert your own plan when you're not hearing anything. See, I need to say that again. Don't insert your own plan and get anxious and mental. I've done that before. And then you try to, you know, you're looking up on the internet every way to deal with the sickness and disease or this or that. Have you talked to God about it? You got to stay in peace. You ask him for his understanding, for his revelation on anything that you need to do. What's the Spirit saying to you? Otherwise, you just stick to the word. Believe that you receive. You are the healed of the Lord. So believe that you receive specifically for any area that comes against you, and then start thanking him for it. Dance. Amen. Well, that's all good. Don't yield to anxiety. And I'm going to read this in the Amplified, so let's do that. Philippians 4, 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Delight. Gladden yourselves in him. Again, I say rejoice. Let all men know and perceive and recognize your unselfishness, your considerateness, your forbearing spirit. The Lord is near. He is coming soon. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. Amen. But in every circumstance, in everything, by prayer and petition, definite request, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. And then what happens? Yes. The devil's disturbance. No, God's peace is a fruit. God's peace shall be yours, that tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God and being content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is, that peace which transcends all understanding shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And we're to meditate on his word, those things that are true and noble and just and pure and lovely and of good report. And virtuous, and meditating on these things. And in verse 9 it says, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace, the God of soundness of mind, the God of well-being. Really, if you look up that definition of peace, let's look at that. And, you know, Pastor Jay was talking about those two layers. And like Pastor Nancy said, that it's in your spirit and then it ministers to your mind. That layer starts in your spirit. It's a fruit of the spirit. So when people say, Pastor, pray for me for peace, I'm like, you already have peace inside of you. Now, I can minister peace to somebody because it's an anointing that comes upon me. And I can minister with the peace of God, but I can't give you peace in your heart. You've already got peace in your heart. You need to stir it up. You need to use that peace. Why don't you stand up? Well, praise the Lord. So those simple things, what do we talk about? Renewing your mind, developing your heart. You know, women, if you go shopping and you buy a nice dress, and you come home, what do? You take that dress and you put it over your clothes? Just put it on top of you? Of course not. We don't want any more bulges than what we already have. We're not going to do that. No. You take off your clothes and you put on that. So put on the new man. Put it on. Well, if you put it on, you got to take some things off. So you do that by faith. Lay down disturbance. Lay down ill will toward people. Lay down fretting. Lay down what I haven't done. You see, when I get up here and preach, I have to, Lord, I'm sure there are probably 100 sermons I could have listened to. I could have read all these Bible passages. I could have prayed for 25 hours. I could have, but it's time to get up there and preach.
Amen. Amen.
So I got to lay down and just trust God.
That's right.
That what I already have in me is enough.
Amen.
And whatever I need, God's going to help me through the gift that he's put in me.
Right.
See, I went home last night. I said, Father, help me to just flow in the gifts you've put on me.
Amen.
And help me to flow in the highest office that you need.
Yes.
I don't come in here with a preconceived idea of I need to prophesy to everybody. There may be services I don't minister in anybody that way. If it's God, I will flow with it.
Amen.
If it's not, I won't.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Does anybody know that our team, peace, wonderful peace? Do you know that?
Yes.
Yeah, let's sing that. Amen. And then we're going to wrap up here. Praise the Lord. So sing this with us. Just lift your hands and
God, worship Him, worship Him, worship Him. Hallelujah. We're so thankful for this great treasure, Father, of Your peace. Father, it's available to us. We tap into it. We decide to be doers of the Word this morning. We thank You, Father. It's one of the chief benefits, the crowning benefits of redemption. We're so grateful for it, Father. Amen. Are you grateful for the peace of God? Something came up real quick. Somebody said, you know, because the pressures can come from different sources, doctors. For some reason, I have this in my spirit. You know, if doctors are pressuring you, and they're, I'm not against doctors. You understand that, but you've got to be led by the Holy Ghost. You've got to be led by the peace of God in what you do. They can suggest things, and you know, they have different suggestions they make, but. Don't let pressure make your decisions. Are you listening to me? I'm saying this. Somebody needs to just be encouraged about this. Pressure is, you're never making the right decision when you make it in pressure. We make decisions in peace. Remember Colossians talks about in the Amplified, let the peace that pass, let it rule. God, act as an umpire, deciding and settling with all finality. Every question that arises. Every question is settled in peace. Amen. Not pressure. I said not pressure. And I'm prompted to say that because, you can get the mindset by listening to other voices that I have to do something. You don't have to do anything that you don't have peace about. I'm not preaching against medical care. I'm not. You understand the way I'm saying that. But don't override the witness of the Spirit. Amen. Praise God.